Good evening and welcome to Matters of Life. I'm your host, John Lucier, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining me this evening as we get into the Word and hear what the Lord has to say for this time and this season. But before we begin, let's just start with a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for you, for who you are. Our God, and we are your people. It's an honor that you have bestowed on us that we do not deserve and can never earn, but you've given it to us so freely. And we thank you and praise you and glorify your name, the name above every name, the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. We thank you and we praise you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise that you have sent and given to us so freely. And we welcome you into this place today to have your way and your say, to minister to your people, to encourage them, to equip them, and all that you have planned and purposed on the destiny track for their life. To accomplish it, to fulfill it, that you may be glorified. We thank you and praise you. In the almighty name of Jesus, amen. Well, thank you all for joining me this evening. You know, and I just want to share with you something that the Lord had walked me through. We have been talking for the past few weeks about two things. One, the heart of the Lord. And then as we understood his heart, he talked to us about what he's wanting to accomplish, and that is restoration in your life, in this nation, and in whatever nation you're in here on the earth. That is the Lord's desire for his people. Well, the Lord brought me to Isaiah 62. So we're just going to read this. It's like 12 verses, I believe. And you'll see how all these things that we've been discussing tie together and come through. And of course, we'll talk about it along the way. So it begins, this Isaiah chapter 62, and says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet. Until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like a torch that is burning. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be called a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said to you, 'Forsaken,' nor to your land will it any longer be called 'Desolate,' but you will be called 'My delight is in her,' and your land 'Married.' For the Lord your God delights in you, and to him your land will be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you." So let's pause there for a moment. The very first things mentioned are all the things we were talking about. The Lord, his desire for restoration. You see it in there when he talks about your land will no longer be called desolate, but it will be married, that the delight will be, the Lord's delight will be in us. And you see that returning of marriage and the covenant which the Lord established. That he will be our God, and we will be his people. That is, being in covenant with the Lord, is where all the blessings and the benefits come from. When God is our God and we are his people, our salvation is provided, it is assured. And remember, our righteousness, back to verse 2, says, the nations will see your righteousness and the kings your glory. Well, our glory is only found in the Lord. And let's recall that our righteousness is but filthy rags. But we are the righteousness in Christ Jesus, not apart from him, only in Christ are we considered righteous. But also, the Lord will designate our new name. And it says how we will be a crown of beauty, a royal diadem. If we're in covenant and we remain in covenant with the Lord, we are not forsaken. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. Now, so let's understand that. That means we have a relationship. We are listening and being obedient to him. If we are obstinate and stubborn, if we are in rebellion against the Lord, then we are telling him we do not want his help, that we have it under control, and we limit him from getting involved on our behalf. And I know that may be strong for someone. How can we limit the Lord? We're not stronger than the Lord. We can't oppose the Lord. That's true. But he gave us free will. He gave us the ability to choose to do things his way or do things of our own power and of our own accord. We have been given that free will, opportunity, choice, or decision. And it matters to the Lord. And I'm sure some of you are listening and saying, oh yeah, well, that's true. Even Jesus in his earthly ministry went to certain places and said he could only do but a few small miracles because of their lack of faith. They refused to believe that he was who he said he was and that he would do what he said he would do. They wanted to do it their own way. And it limited the Lord from moving on their behalf. Not because he wasn't able, because they didn't want or desire the help. And I'm sure we've all experienced that in our own lives, where we intend to help someone because that is what the Lord is prompting us to do. But then they reject our help, our assistance. It's not that we weren't capable or able to do it. It's not that we were unwilling to do it. But the Lord is not going to fight and wrestle with us in order to help us. Nor would we do that with someone else. At some point, they will change their mind and say, oh, I don't want your assistance now. And then that may change things. If we're still there. Now, the Lord's always there. He's always willing. But that covenant and remaining in that covenant with the Lord, allowing him to move on our behalf, that he's pleased with us because we're obedient to him. At the end of verse 5, that's where it says, so your God will rejoice over you. And not only that, but then let's continue and look at the structure that he's set forth for us. He says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his strong arm, I will never again give your grain as food to your enemies, nor will foreigners drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. I'm going to pause there again on the reading of Scripture. But understand that the Lord always has intercessors. He always has his servants who are ready. Those in his end time army who do stand watch and cry out to the Lord and intercede on behalf of the people, on behalf of the nation and the nations. And it doesn't stop. But the Lord's telling them and reminding us of what's required from us. Our role in this restoration. That we have a role in his restoration. There is work to do. But he also says how he is able. He's sworn by his right hand and by his strong arm. And what did he swear by? Was he sworn by? Or what did he swear, I should say? That he will never again give your grain as food to your enemies, nor will foreigners drink your new wine for which you have labored. And I'm sure there's many, even in this nation, but all around the earth, that are looking at the state of things and seeing how much work and effort and labor and diligence and all the rest they have put in. And they see legislation that just sends it overseas, that sends it to other people that have a history and a track record of being in opposition to the nation. And many are questioning and wondering why. And by questioning, I mean they're crying out to the Lord, asking for his justice, asking for him to get involved and to move on their behalf. And I tell you, he is. He brought me here to the scripture to remind and encourage each of you to press in and to press on to what he has. He is able to do what he said he will do. He is faithful. And in verse 9, he also again says, hey, you will receive the reward, right? Those who garner it will eat it and praise the Lord. And those who gather it will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. It's an understanding of the closeness of how we are to live with the Lord. The Lord's the one that provided it. It's part of his covenant. It's part of the blessing or the blessings that are in his covenant and on the destiny track, predestined and determined for you on the destiny track that he set forth for your life. But then in verse 10, he again begins, or not begins, but continues to remind us of our role and what's required of us. He says, go through the gates, clear the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up a standard over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will be called sought out, and a city not forsaken. We have been given a role in his restoration. And he tells us to go through the gates. Elijah asked a similar question, phrased differently, but at the core, it's the same thing. How long will you be of two opinions? And I feel led to say that or bring up that question because the Lord in this is telling us to move forward in his restoration plan. That we are entering a new season. And some may say, oh, well, I don't see the deliverance yet. Well, use your faith. Use your faith and prepare yourself to do the work, to go through. And I will also tell you, you will not be able to go through if you're still trying to hold on and bring all of the past with you. And by the past, I mean exactly what we have been talking about. For the place that he's bringing, and in the restoration, and restoration again includes a removal of those things that are detrimental to the life and support of the structure being restored or built or rebuilt. Many times in Scripture, the Lord says, I'm doing a new thing. Are there some things from the past, some similarities into what he's doing? Absolutely. And let's be willing, able, and obedient to latch on to the Lord with our entire being in the thing he wants to do now. That's what has happened throughout history, throughout all these great awakenings and these periods of revival. Whether it was the Great Awakenings, and I say that because there were multiple, whether it was the Welsh Revival in the Hebrides, or any of the other moves of the Lord, and I say moves, but I mean periods of revival in the earth, where much change happened, where the glory of the Lord was poured out over all the earth. It may have started in one place or another, but it spread. His glory shone throughout the whole earth. How much more here and now in these end times? And I say end times, not that it is the end of days. But we do have a saying here at this ministry. Whether it is the end of days or it is your end of days, we're still required to be ready. We're called to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So are you prepared? Between you and the Lord, are you prepared? Wasn't that back in this section where he was talking about there'll be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It's how he views things, his thoughts and his ways concerning you, for you and me, for myself. Yes, the Lord's intent is always restoration. He's already proclaimed it. But he also, again, encourages us, right? When he says, build up a highway, remove the stones, lift up a standard over the people, remove those things that don't reflect him and his nature and his character and his attributes that are stumbling blocks for the people. That was the counsel given by the Lord everywhere. Throughout the entirety of Scripture, and to lift up a standard over the people. Well, that's his standard. He is the standard. Jesus is our pattern and example. Will we follow him? Will we become conformed to his image? Will we remove those things from our life that don't reflect him? Again, refining and discipline always comes with conversation. So even in this, there is an encouragement to scrape the dross off. The heat has already been turned up. Will we actually scrape the dross off? Or will we just allow it to bubble up at the surface? And then as the heat dissipates, and as the individual cools down, does the dross fall right back in, making that metal weaker? Or is it scraped off, removed or uprooted from your life, making you stronger. And then in a place where iron can sharpen iron. And I will tell you that iron can only sharpen iron if we remain in covenant with the Lord. And not just remain in covenant, but if God is our God and we are his people, then we should be seeking the Lord's best. And not just for our own lives. How can one sharpen another if they are speaking or ministering out of their flesh? We should be seeking the Lord's best for each other. To say what the Lord says to say and to do what he says to do concerning all things, areas, aspects, and facets of our life. And for each other's. That is how iron sharpens iron. That is how each other, I'll say for each person, but as a collective, how the people become stronger in the Lord. But you can't do that apart from him. We can only do it remaining in covenant with him. And that is how the people understand the difference and will see, as it says in verse 12, they, the people, the nations that see will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will be called sought out, a city not forsaken. You're not forsaken because the Lord dwells there in and with you. You are the temple of the Lord. Let's not cast that aside. But just like Jesus in the temple, he drove those things out. Yes, he flipped over the tables for the money changers. But notice what was removed. Everything. The tables, the money, all of the animals. Everything that was touched by those things, that was impacted by it, was removed. And then when he was questioned concerning, or by the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, concerning what authority he had to do those things that he did, his response was that he would tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. But they, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, did not understand that he was speaking of his body. So if he was speaking about his body concerning tearing down the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days, then he was speaking in the entirety of the temple and our relationship with sin. It must be driven out so it does not separate us from the Lord. And by driven out, I mean you for your life. Your body is a temple of the Lord for you. My body is a temple of the Lord for me. I can't drive your sin out of you. That is for you to do. And it comes down to your choice. I can only do it concerning myself. To drive those things out that don't belong there, that would defile the temple, that would separate me from the Lord. And I have no desire to be separated from the Lord for 1 second. And I pray and trust the Lord that you also don't want to be separated from him. So those things that don't reflect him must be driven out. They must be uprooted from our lives. And we must choose to be willing and obedient to not only hear him when he's speaking, but to then go do, say and do what he's calling us to do. And everything. And following his plan is how we bring about, and I'll say how we are to function in his plan of restoration and maintaining, building up for the future generations. Teaching and training and equipping, admonishing, encouraging, them to move forward in their relationship with the Lord. So I just want to feel led to encourage you with all that this evening. So I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining me. I trust the Lord that you are built up and you can see what the Lord is doing. And I want to, I'll say challenge you, but really encourage you to move forward, to go through the gates, clearing the way for the people, building up the highway, removing the stones, and lifting up a standard for the peoples. Entering into this new season that the Lord, and I'll say this season of restoration, that the Lord has begun. So thank you. Thank you for joining me this evening. And I also wanted to encourage you to stand, continue to stand for righteousness and justice. We love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful evening.